Well, this morning's lesson has a silly title. And you might be thinking, well, now he's admitted the Weird Al titles things, and now he feels like he can go as silly as he wants to be. And it's not that. It's a little bit that. But another reason for the silly title this morning is, as I was preparing this lesson, it occurred to me that what I'm going to be doing this morning is a very silly thing, given the circumstances. I'm going to get up here and talk about Proverbs, talk about wisdom, in a room where I should probably be the one sitting down and listening to wisdom. I it's kind of like the youth minister who's been married for a couple of years and has no kids that wants to teach a parenting class. Right? Well, the whole idea of the Proverbs and of wisdom literature is about learning from those with experience. And so it seemed a strange thing to me. It just seemed silly. And I was tempted to say, well, let's do something very different. And, you know, I figure I couldn't quite get away with open mic morning. Crossed my mind. But I figure at the very least, this should be a two-way street this morning. So I'm going to pass these out. And this morning I'd like, while I'm still going to share what I think I know about some wisdom stuff, I'd like, if you don't mind, if you could write down some wisdom. It can be something someone has told you, something you've taught your kids, something that you would want to share with me, something you would want to just share in general. I'm not going to tell you what to write. That's kind of the point of it, right? I like gathering wisdom. I don't know, maybe if they're good enough, I'll... They don't want anymore. How am I taking that? Maybe if they're good enough, I'll steal it for a lesson and give you a footnote. You can put your name on it if you want. You can leave it anonymous. You can put somebody else's name on it if you really want. I'm handing out two to everybody. You can write two. You can write one. You can ignore it. But does anybody need a pencil? You can make up a name to put on it. Like you see that internet quote pops up sometimes. Don't trust everything you read on the internet, Abraham Lincoln.
Might not be an actual quote.
But if you're willing, jot something down. You can just leave it on your seat. You can hand it to me later if you want, or just leave it on your seat. I'll go around and excitedly pick them up later. Again, like I said, if you'd rather not, that's fine too. But at least this way, it won't be as silly as if it were just me speaking to this congregation about wisdom, as though I don't know that it's backwards here. So, now that I've done that, let's talk about the Proverbs. It is the most popular of the books of wisdom found in the Old Testament. It's not the only book of wisdom. Job and Ecclesiastes are also known as books of wisdom. Sometimes it's helpful when talking about the Proverbs, just first start off with things that the Proverbs are not. Because sometimes we get the wrong idea about what this book is. And sometimes the things that make the book popular comes from some misunderstandings. So first of all, what the Proverbs are not. Here are a couple of verses from Proverbs that sometimes can lead to these ideas of misunderstandings that I want to talk about. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. It's a nice verse. Nice idea. But sometimes we get the wrong ideas from it. First of all, what are the Proverbs not? They're not guarantees. That statement sounded like a guarantee, didn't it? It says, here are my teachings and my commands. Do them and this will happen. And the Proverbs presents itself that way a lot of times. It'll say, do good things and good things will happen, right? Seek wisdom and you will be blessed. Seek foolishness and you will be cursed. It is very cut and dry. It's not talking about heavenly rewards. It's talking about in this life, good things will happen to the righteous. And we would like those to be guarantees. But has anybody had enough wisdom and experience to know that it doesn't always work that way? It doesn't. We would like these sorts of statements to be guarantees. Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. One who is wise can go up against the city of the mighty and pull down the stronghold in which they trust. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. The things that the Proverbs say would be wonderful if there were guarantees. But it's not the case that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. I joke in my college class sometimes, I'm going over this, and look, Ohio State won in a football national championship a few years ago. Obviously, good things can happen to bad people. Right? Bill's sitting there right there. I said, maybe you have a basketball example coming up soon. Maybe. We disagree. But, we make a mistake when we look at these as guarantees because we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. So that's one thing that we should be careful as we're looking at the wisdom of Proverbs. They're not guarantees. They're also not commandments, which brings us back to the chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. That it calls them commands. Not the same thing as commandments. When we look at Proverbs, we're not looking at the same thing as if we were in, say, Deuteronomy or Exodus, where it's saying, God says, you must do this. They sound like it sometimes. But if we take them like that, we can end up putting ourselves in maybe a bad spot, and maybe making ourselves look a little silly. So we take a statement like, whoever winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. Now, do you suppose this proverb is trying to tell us some commandment about proper winking? Does this say that if you see somebody in church winking, well, then they need to be set straight? Or better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. Is this a nutritional command? Now, I picked out a couple that come off maybe a little silly, but we can do this sometimes. We are so eager to have a thus says the Lord statement, that we can sometimes go to a book that is not intending to say thus says the Lord and grab onto it. I think when we look at the Proverbs, we need to be careful that we're not making commandments where they are not. All right, so they're not guarantees. They're not commandments. They're not cheat codes either. You know what I'm talking about with cheat codes? I don't know if any video game players, but I don't know if anybody recognizes this. Guy, you know what it's showing here on the screen? Yeah. This is the Konami code. Very famous in Nintendo. Bill, you come across this? No? Okay, Caleb does. when people at Konami were making a game for Nintendo called Contra, and they were wanting to test the game out, but the game is hard. I can tell you it is. And so they wanted a way to not have to keep starting over, so they created a backdoor code for their testers. Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start. And if you put that code in, instead of starting the game Contra with 3 lives, you start with 30. And they forgot to take the code out when they released the game, and somebody found out about it. And it became famous. Nobody plays Contra without putting in this code. And it became, they put it into other games too, and there's a lot of other places where this pops up in pop culture. But, video games have these cheat codes where you want to find a way around the way things work. Well, do this, and you'll have extra lives or extra health or, whatever weapons you want, things like that. And sometimes we treat wisdom and the Proverbs kind of like life's cheat codes. We say, these are the ways that if you do these things, you can solve the problem, and you can have all the success you want if you do these things. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare. There you go. We found the cheat code. You stay awake, and you will prosper. Sometimes we look at Proverbs as these ways that we can solve life. Many a stand-up comedian has talked about if only life had cheat codes. Well, I've also heard sermons that make it talk like the Proverbs are these cheat codes. And they're just not. Again, it would be nice. I would like guarantees. We like commandments to an extent. We like the certainty of them, at least. We like cheat codes. It would be nice if the Proverbs could do these things. But that's not what they're intended to do. So, what is it that they do? What the Proverbs are? Well, let's come back to this statement. Now, I think you can find the ideas of guarantee and command and even cheat code in these verses. They kind of have the sound of that if you're just looking for keywords. But let's notice what it's doing instead. Because I didn't put this these two verses up and then those three statements to say that these verses are wrong. Because they're not. These are very important verses. But we need to make sure we know what they're doing. The first thing the Proverbs are is they're observations. Not cheat codes. Cheat code says if you do this, you will solve the problem. An observation says, I've noticed the problem. And I've noticed what I've done in these situations. And I've noticed what others have done. And I've heard their advice. And I've noticed you have a lot better chance if you don't spend your days sleeping all the time. It's not a promise. It's you're not going to come up with a graph that says those who sleep this much have this much success, and it's not some sort of we used the term cheat code there. It's not some something that's going to work in every situation, but it's an observation of, this seems to help. And I want to help. You know, a lot of the Proverbs are expressed in terms of a generation passing it on to a younger generation. Father to son, or other relationships like that. I said, I want to be able to help you out. And so I've seen these things. Go get some rest. You know, it's not so different than, even this one, not so different than Benjamin Franklin. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Every time? Well, no. He'd tell you that. But it's an observation based on things he's seen. And so when Proverbs 3 goes on to say, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. It's saying, these are the things that help put you in the right direction. All right. Make sense? Moving on. Similar to this is, they're not just, what the difference between observation and advice from experience is, observation can be short term. I suppose, you know, I saw something on the way here, so I put it in a lesson, right? That happens sometimes. But the wisdom in Proverbs is not just, I saw something one time. It is from a life of experience. It is from someone paying attention to the way their lives have gone. Paying attention to cause and effect of things. And so when they might say, better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred, they're not talking about a commandment of what you should eat. It's not about the food, right? It's about the love and the hate being talked about. It's somebody saying, I've had a lot of really good meals that I wish I hadn't been there. And I've had a lot of really lousy meals that I wish had never ended. They say, this is an observation from someone's life that says, you can worry about what's on the table, but I've found it's much more important to focus on who's around the table. Right? This is something that is wisdom passed on. I'm saying, these are the experiences I've been through. Let me share them. And so we get statements like, and we already saw this morning, it was on our offering slide. It said, do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it's in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it. These statements are statements about how I've been in need. I've been able to give. I've lived around other people. I've noticed the ways that build people up as opposed to those that discourage them. This is wisdom that comes from experience. One last thing I want to say about what Proverbs are. And I couldn't think of a really good way of describing this, so I'm going to go with the best I could come up with. Proverbs work to provide, I'm saying, profiles. You can kind of think of this in terms of like profiling, but we're going to say it in a positive way. When I say they provide profiles, they give you keys of what to look for. So, We know that the difference between righteousness and wickedness is a big idea in Proverbs, just like wisdom and foolishness. And so when Proverbs 2 makes a statement like, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It says, avoid those who are evil. Avoid those who are wicked, who will lead you away. And you say, okay, what do they look like? Proverbs says, I'm so glad you asked. Because so much of what Proverbs is doing is helping you to know what to look for, to understand the profile of someone who's going to lead you toward righteousness and someone who's going to lead you away from righteousness. Because it is very unlikely that somebody who is wicked or somebody who's leading you away from righteousness is going to tell you that that's who they are. Right? They don't usually say, I would really like to take you away from God right now. Or I've got some wickedness that I'd like us to do right now. Want to go to wickedness? They don't say that. Just like she's never going to tell you she's a mime. She can't, right? Mimes can't tell you anything. But you know how to recognize a mime, right? There are subtle clues. Some things to look for. Well, first, are they talking? Okay. Stripy shirt and a beret. That's a good clue. You know, are they acting in a way that nobody who's not a mime would? Are they walking against the wind? Well, okay, you get what I'm saying here. In the same way, Proverbs tells us the profile of someone who's going to take you away from God. We're done with the mime picture, right? Yeah, let's move on. And for the first time it talks about wickedness, it talks about the obvious wickedness. In chapter 1, it's talking about how to avoid wickedness, and it says, if they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, we will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them, do not set foot on their paths. And I think this is supposed to be an obvious sort of statement where, you know, if you're teaching somebody, now if somebody says, let's go spill innocent blood, don't go with them. You say, got it, I can do that. But it doesn't stay so obvious as this. You know, we have obvious wrong, and while Proverbs wants to say, okay, let's get this out of the way. If somebody says, let's go do wickedness, tell them no. But it goes on to talk more about more deceptive and less obvious. In Proverbs, it talks about two women that will try to entice the young men. One is the woman named Wisdom. And the other is this one who's called either Folly, or the stranger, or the adulterous woman. His wisdom will save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Now, when they talk about her, it's not the same thing of, hey, let's go fill our houses with plunder. No, this is more somebody saying, come, I have what you want. Let me show you how to get it. This is the type that is harder to see. This is uses the idea of the adulterous woman because it's about being seductive, saying, come this way because I have something you want. Proverbs wants to give the profile of what this looks like so that you can avoid it. This is the one we need to worry about, right? It's that one where it's presented in a way that you can justify, well, I could see how that would make sense. You would never say, somebody says, would you like to cheat on your taxes? Of course I don't want to cheat on my taxes. But somebody says, well, you know, if you change this one number, which you could probably justify, you could make it say that, you could get a much larger return. All I have to do is that. You know, it's different. It's not somebody saying you can cheat. Somebody saying, here's a benefit for you. And that other example that I thought of but didn't write down. You don't know what that's like. I can't remember. But, you know, it's this type of seductive wrong, this type of casual wickedness, could we say, that Proverbs wants to warn us about. It is the idea of this wisdom that has to be passed on. And as we go through Proverbs throughout this year, and we have it kind of back and forth with the Psalms and the reading plan, keep your eyes out for the ways that these wise observations, the wise advice coming from experience, and the wise descriptions of these profiles are done, and so that we can learn to navigate this world in the steps of righteousness, to not be as the Proverbs warn about being wise in our own eyes, but to use the wisdom from others, and so we can pass it along to others as well. Because this statement that we've looked at a couple times is important. Do not forget the teaching. Keep the commands in your heart. They will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. It doesn't have to be a guarantee or a command or a cheat code to be valuable. We have the benefit of not just generations, but centuries and millennia of God's people passing down their observations, their experience, passing on the wisdom to us so that we can learn. So let's try to take advantage of that as we do our study here. All right, that's all I have. I hope you have taken the chance to write down some wisdom. I look forward to reading those later. But you know, the last thing we're going to do this morning, if you need anything from this congregation, if you need prayers, if you need to share anything, that's what we do. If there's anything you need this morning, tell us about it. We want to hear it as we close our services, as we sing.
And thine affection been nailed to the cross. Is thy heart right with me?